Amen. Thanks for those words.
What was that?
The power got shut off in my house and reset my sprinkler system from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. There are people in the backyard. Sprinklers came.
Nice.
Focus. Now that's good writing. Thank you, Father. Oh, man, that's good stuff. Anyways.
Except the roof. Sean said, run for it.
He's like, stuck in a trip.
Every man for themselves.
And Dad just closes the door.
Oh, wow.
The baby.
I think it comes in front.
Gotcha. Sinners.
See, rain will fall on the unjust too.
Did you get wet, Luke?
Okay, note to self, fix the sprinkler. Okay.
Or not.
Old dreams and angels. And the Greek word angels is a transliteration of the word angelos. It just means messengers. So when the translators read in the Greek New Testament, and actually in the Old Testament, they're going to say, when it's men, they're going to say messengers. When it's angels or a celestial being, they're going to say angels. But angels just means messengers. But for marketing purposes, we'll keep it to angels. Genesis, actually we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Page 233 in the Greek.
Chapter
13. He's reading a contradiction out of a very good Bible. This is the infallible word of the God of the Hebrews. This is what is written. Man shall not live by bread or word, but every word that comes out. And then there's an explanation in the gospel according to Luke. Well, Luke must have known Mary because he said that he understood it from the very beginning. I went, that must make sense to you. This wasn't a recollection, but here's this whole thing. Here's the traditions of man, the gospel according to Luke. And it even says it in the Rotram. That's where I put the line right through it. No, it's not the according, it's not a recollection. But here's the adversary inserted something in there. But anyways, chapter 13, verse 2. And so messengers are angels, and Yahweh does not tell us whether it's a celestial or a terrestrial. Terrestrial is on the ground. A terrarium is where animals live. Celestial is going to be something that lives above the ground. And so Yahweh is just going to call messengers messengers. And by reading the context, it will tell you whether it's a celestial or a terrestrial. For this teaching, we're talking about celestial, or what most people would call angels. Okay? Esther Scout, would you please read 13 verse 2?
Of the entertaining of strangers, be not forgetful, for hereby unaware have some entertained messengers.
And what does that mean? It means take care of strangers. We're commanded to take care of sojourners, the fatherless, widows, and doing these other things. I had something happen that was neat recently. I was parked in front of our office downtown. It's not easy parallel parking. I'm getting better at it. All right, I can get this. And I'm late for an appointment. And I walked into the parking garage. Now I'm really late because I forgot I parked out front. I come out, and then as I'm walking out to my car, there's a City of Wichita bus there, parked. Like there's no parking spots, like a tow-way zone. And I kind of look over, and as I'm walking by, the driver of the bus is walking a blind man that looks a lot like Stevie Wonder. It's a really long. And I'm watching him walk by the arm, and I'm like, wow, that's neat. I kept walking. What's the bus driver stop the bus to help a blind man? I live around here, I work here, and I didn't offer any help. And guess what I got? Go back. You should do that. Well, I don't know what to do. I'm late. Turn around, walk back. I said, hey, you guys okay? The blind guy, he just, the biggest smile, had these shades on, his stick, and the bus driver goes, no, I think we got it. I go, well, where are you going? And I can't take credit. I was told to do it. It was communicated. He goes, we're going to the 200 building garbage center. Or they say the garbage center. So which building? He goes, the 200. I go, it's that one right here. It's not these. He goes, well, that's where we're going. But thank you for telling us that. Because the bus has stopped in the street. And I almost walked right by. As into entertaining messengers. That could have been one of Yahweh's messengers. What would take more faith? And going into this teaching, I wonder, and every once in a while we'll have an encounter with somebody, and you're going to, something was just very different. I wonder. And the only time you know if it's a real angel or a messenger is if Yahweh reveals it. A lot of times you're never going to know. How many times do messengers have wings in Yahweh's word?
Zero.
Not the Zoe. One time. Once. In one of the minor prophets, there's a messenger who had hair like women, like a woman. And because of traditions of men, now we see women. And you can see that. I think a lot of it starts with artists. How do you tell people in a painting it's an angel or a messenger? Well, they put halos, they put wings or whatever, so they took it. But actually, you wouldn't know that any different. It would be very average. The same way with Jesus Christ, it'd be by what they did. So you can imagine what happened with Gideon. Pour the broth out. Wait a minute. Like John Shane, I goes, there's a famine here. He's threshing wheat inside of a wine press. Pour the broth out of the animal he just killed. But he did it. Fire shoots up. And that's it. So you want an encounter like that? How many of us would like that encounter? Are you entertaining angels or messengers? Now it says, hey, take care of the strangers. Keep your head on the swivel. We would love to meet a messenger, right? I'd like to see a messenger shoot up on a pillar of fire. Really? Are you going to do what he tells you to do in order to see that? I didn't even know there's some things I might want to do. Genesis chapter 18, page 46. Who knows the real name of this book besides dead? Anyone?
The beginning?
In the beginning. So that's the, yeah, so it's in the beginning. So it's Barashit. That's to the best of my recollection. All these names were different names. I heard a teaching the other morning, and this guy goes, hey, you be seeking, be asking, you knock, and you shall have what you sayeth. And he goes, are you sowing money? Are you investing money into the kingdom? We should be speaking over it, coming back tenfold and hundredfold. And he goes, and I confess the hundredfold. And he goes, and you know what? I just sit down and go, how much is a hundredfold on that? It was a couple of zeros. He goes, man, I wonder if I'm going to get a hundredfold back. His wife goes, Yahweh's pretty good with math. He's got a whole book called Numbers. But the book of Numbers isn't the real name. I digress. Chapter 18, verse 1 through 3. Wendy, would you read that?
Yes. And Yahweh appeared unto him among the oaks of Mamre. He was sitting at the opening of the tent in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men standing over against him. So he looked and ran to meet them from the opening of the tent and bowed himself to the earth and said, O my Lord, if I pray thee, I have found favor in thine eyes. Do not, I pray thee, pass on from thy servant. How far?
Okay. And now we will read, then here's the preparation. Does Abraham know what's going on right now? No, he doesn't. He sees some messengers. A little history back then, they didn't have, and this is all from John Shanahan's journey through the Old Testament, Dad gave me. He said back then they didn't have news, they didn't have newspapers, they didn't have TV. And just like when Israel and I came back from Kenya, you guys wanted to hear some testimonies and stuff like that, right? You might even saw some pictures. Back then, if you wanted some news, some good stuff, we saw a stranger going through, hey! And that's not the only reason with the Abrahams, but that was one of the things. Hey, let's go hear some stories. Tell me about the land. What's going on here? But he goes, and 4 through 9 is basically him preparing this stuff for these three strangers. And in verse 9, as he's sitting there preparing these things and getting ready to eat, and they said unto him, as to Sarah, thy wife. See the period. Isn't that good with the Rotherham? Mm-hmm. And Sarah, thy wife. Do these messengers know his wife's name? I don't know. I have a feeling that he didn't tell them about his wife. She's in another room. A cloth room, but it's a room. It's not easy staying awake, I'm sorry. You can stand up and start falling asleep. Anyways, I can imagine goosebumps with Abraham going, how did he know her name? And he said, Lo, she's in the tent, the other room. And he said, who said? He said, I will surely return unto thee at the quickening season, and lo, a son for Sarah thy wife. What? Now Sarah, and it was neat, he didn't call her Sarai. It was Sarah too, in that name. Now Sarah was hearkening at the opening of the tent. I bet she was. What's going on over there? Who are these guys? Where are they from? Are you from Babylon? Are you Persian? Are they a foul mouth? Are they a holy man? What kind of people are they? Did they look rich? Probably not. You know, when we see the MO of Yahweh, it's going to take faith. Let me see here. And remember Lot with the messengers too? They weren't going to stay there. Lot had to convince them. He had to fight. And get what did he get? He insisted. And what was that all about? I don't necessarily know. But Lot had some bodyguards that got him out of Dodge. And it's kind of neat. Okay. Well, they told me no. Did Lot have to accept no? What would happen if he would have said, okay, well, see you later. They told me no. Lot had to fight with those angels, those messengers. Or not fight, but going to say, please, I insist. Sarah, their wife, we see verse 11. But Abraham and Sarah were old. How old?
99.
100 years old, 90? Right around 190. She's 90, he's 100. And other people, I've heard people say, well, Sarah had a baby when she was 90 years old, but the times were different back then. People were having babies and stuff. And you go, it is written. What's it say next? But Abraham and Sarah are old, far gone in days. It doesn't matter if you're 20 years old, but if you're far gone in days, those things are dried up. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And I like what Dad said. Also, he believed this was Abraham. Why did it take 100 years? Because Abraham had to go sterile. He's 100 years old now. He could have Ishmael, but that wasn't going to be a miracle child. Isaac was
not sterile.
Impotent, yeah. Whatever. It's dried up. It's not going to work. Whatever it is. But Isaac would not be the type of Christ if Abraham had a part in it. Okay? Now, both of them, nothing's working. That's exactly what I want. Could it be in your life that he's driving you to a cliff? Well, that doesn't make any kind of sense. You mean there's no way this is going to work? Exactly. I want all the credit. Who's going to get the credit for this son?
Yahweh.
Who's sitting there right now? Yahweh. So Sarah, let me see here, I'll go back to 11. But Abraham and Sarah were old, far gone in days. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So then Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am past age, hath there come to me pleasure, my Lord also being old? I believe that she might have been teetering a little bit with unbelief. Maybe, the scriptures don't necessarily say, but I believe she might have been, because I think that's why Yahweh is going to address it real quick. No unbelief. You can imagine, here's a surgeon, everything is white, and somebody opens a door and they're not disinfected. Get out. Nothing personal, and I've had that. You know, Jesus Christ put people out of the room. Get out. Oh, that hurts my feelings. There could be some times in your life that there's a miracle child or something that's going to happen, and you're going to have to remove the unbelief. And in this case, it's my speculation that I think Sarah might have had something here, possibly. Yahweh said unto Abraham, wherefore now did Sarah laugh, saying, can it really and truly be that I should bear, seeing that I'm old? And Abraham said, now you listen here, you're a guest, this is my roof, that's my wife, and you're just saying some weird stuff. Is that what Abraham said?
No.
The next scripture says, is anything too wonderful for Yahweh? Yahweh speaking to Abraham in third person. How would you like to be that guy? Does he know what's going on right here? Here's the scriptures. Wow. And you can read Elijah, you can read, which is and use Yahweh, not Jehovah. We know what his name is. What I highlighted, verse 6. And here's just the paragraph Bible, their note.
Two of whom were angels in human form, and the third, Yahweh. The patriarch, however, was not at first aware of their celestial nature.
If you didn't know yet, you're going to go, but think about that. He went out, three people, comes in, and wait a minute. Does he know that this guy's a Hebrew? Is Yahweh Hebrew? I don't know. I don't know what you'd call Yahweh. He's the Elohim. He's the creator of everything. And the guy says something that could possibly be very offensive. You just called out my wife in another tent or whatever. And then he goes, is anything too wonderful for Yahweh? And I can imagine Abraham melting. Because you go back to the chapter earlier, there's an encounter when he's about, I forget how old he was with Ishmael. And Yahweh's talking to Abraham in a vision. Abraham said, I don't have any child. Eliezer of Damascus is going to inherit all this. Did he have a heart for something, Abraham? Yeah, and he's talking to Yahweh about this thing. Had Yahweh had one of those encounters before, or Abraham had one of those encounters before? He sure did. But this, and every other translation is going to butcher this. Why? Well, this doesn't make sense with our theology. How? No man's ever seen Elohim, right? You can't live in... What's it say right there? Here's Yahweh, was one of the messengers. And anyways, and that's one experience. We're going to turn now to Luke chapter 1. So how many messengers have we passed in our life with messages for you? I guarantee all of us in the back of our mind can think about one or two times somebody showed up at the right place at the right time, did something, and then they left, took no credit or something. You're going to go, I got a feeling. Maybe. And what's neat about those things, and as we look at the Word and we start looking, you know, in football, or even more so in basketball, I remember playing basketball with a guy. We're playing, and he's a really good athlete. I'm mediocre. Never really played basketball. And I'm running, and he throws the ball right at my face, hits me in the nose, I fall down, and everybody comes over and says, are you okay? We're playing a little bit. And after I was fine, I'm like, why'd you do that? I said, I didn't know you were passing to me. He was a no-look pass. He goes, the ball's always coming to you. And it was a good lesson. And we should, the ball is always coming to you. That's how we should be living our lives.
Yeah.
The ball's always coming to you. You should be looking, seeking, knocking. I want an encounter. Do you think Yahweh wants you to have a catalyst in your ministry more than you do? Yeah. Do you think he wants you to get more involved in your calling than you do? Of course.
Yeah.
Be seeking, be asking, be knocking, and say, I want an encounter. I want to do these things. You go, okay, good. Well, quit sitting on your rump and hoping for something to happen. Get out there and get involved. Get in the game. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Let's see here. Actually, you know what? This is going to be about Zechariah. Well, Israel, would you read 5? We're going to read chapter verse 4 to about verse 8, and then Tim, if you could read the notes I gave you.
Chapter 1.
Yeah, chapter 1.
That affecting the matters which thou had been taught by word of mouth, thou mightest obtain full knowledge of the certainty. It came to pass in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, that there was a certain priest by the name of Zechariah, of the daily course of Abia, and that he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before Yahweh, walking in all the commandments and the righteous appointments of Yahweh's blamelessness. And they had no child, inasmuch as Elizabeth was barren, and both had become advanced in their days. But it came to pass, as he was doing priestly services in the order of his daily course before Yahweh, according to the customs of his priesthood, it fell to his lot to offer incense, entering into the temple of Yahweh.
And all the throng of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense offering, and there appeared unto him a messenger of Yahweh, standing at the right hand of the altar. He's in a room all by himself. And all of a sudden he looks, and there's somebody standing there. You ever had that? At the corner of your eye, mom says she was washing my clothes. I do pay her. Just in case you wonder. She said she was watching my clothes, la, 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 and out of the corner of her eye, she saw a pair of socks start moving. She said she had goosebumps, her hair stood up, but she turned and just got it like this. She was like, it was a cat. It was hiding inside the laundry. But all of us have had that where something out of the corner, you're right, looking. So here he is, and we're going to get to find out about this encounter here in a second. And all of a sudden, somebody, bing! This is not a young guy. Oh, golly. Who are you? What are you doing here? Remember, Yehoshua, when he looks up and he sees a guy with a sword out. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm 84 years old. You can't do that to me. Anyways, the messenger of the Lord stands at the right hand, verse 12. And Zechariah was troubled when he beheld him. Fear fell upon him. Yeah, I bet. But the messenger said unto him, remember, it's all candlelit. It's dark in there. Do not fear, Zechariah. Inasmuch as thy supplication hath been hearkened to, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bring forth a son unto thee, and it shall come, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, if you'd read the paragraph Bible, yeah. So here's going to be what's actually going on. And Edersheim has a great thing. What's going on with this also? But here's the notes from the paragraph Bible.
Or Abijah, the course of Abijah was the eighth of the 24 classes unto which David divided the whole number of priests, who was appointed to perform the service in weekly rotation, so that each of the courses attended at the temple twice in the year, and then it references the scriptures, on the division made after the captivity. And note, so that John was of the sacerdotal family of both parents. Elizabeth is the same as Elishabon, I guess, name of Aaron's wife. A priest might marry into any of the tribes. Not like Pharisees before men only, Zacharias and Elizabeth were habitually fulfilling the command in Malachi 4:4, and were therefore prepared to receive the fulfillment of the promise of Malachi 3:1. That is, during the attendance of his course, which is verse 5, rather to enter the sanctuary of Yahweh and offer incense, the office of carrying the smoking censer into the holy place where the altar of incense stood, and placing it on the altar was the most honorable of the factions of the ordinary priest. It is assigned by lot. It could not be performed by the same person twice. See Exodus 30, chapters 1, or verse 1 through 10 in notes. There was a multiple of people present upon this occasion. It was probably the Sabbath, for the ordinary temple services were not so numerously attended on other days. A lively sense both of personal sinfulness and of the glory of holiness, the difficulty of realizing the most glorious objects of faith, and the infrequency of such supernatural manifestations all combined to produce awe. See Daniel 8, 16 and 17, and 10, 5 through 12. This may refer either to former prayers of offspring, which he no longer hoped to see fulfilled, or to his prayer for the appearance of the Messiah and his forerunner, which Zacharias, with other pious Jews, doubtless constantly presented. Johanan, meaning one whom Yahushua, or Yahweh, was grievously bestowed. Though without earthly dignity, he shall be one of the chief of Yahweh's servants. It shall be true priest and Nazarite, and the scriptures there, the reference of those, extraordinarily endowed with the Holy Spirit. To the true knowledge and fear of Yahweh, which were necessary to prepare them to receive the Messiah. The notes also on this Jewish period of page 506, with the zeal and energy with Elijah had shown in Kings 17, but not with the miraculous power, for John did no miracle. There was no such unbelief in this present that Yahweh saw correction to be needed.
But that's good right there. Okay. And so you get paint a little picture that this guy is old. How many times has he got to do at least the paragraph Bible's pointing out their notes? What year was that done? Do you remember?
Not 1850s.
But they're going to say the most honorable of the functions of an ordinary priest. How many times had a lot fell on Zacharias? Had it ever fell? How many righteous people were in Israel right now? Or Not a whole lot. Because we have, was it Anna? Mm-hmm. We're kind of going off on a tangent here. Then we had Simeon. We had the shepherds. Who else knew about the coming Messiah? Some of the stuff. Not a whole lot. And we go back to Zechariah's prayer. How was he righteous? Mm-hmm. Yahweh specifically says he was. Was his wife? Mm-hmm. Were they living in a righteous nation? No. Do you think they wanted the Messiah?
Yeah.
Because the seed of the woman is supposed to come and fix all this. And we look at our earth, we see how wicked things are, and we got to go back to the power of the resurrection. And we remember the resurrection and the kingdom that's coming. It will pull us back to center and say, we can endure anything, just as Daniel did. And here he is, the resurrection, and then also his son. These dreams, these things coming into fruition when? How excited would this guy been anyways? Going in, he's old. I finally got the luck. Can you imagine his wife? Oh my goodness, he's been preparing for this his whole life. Is this an important thing for him? This is not the Sadducees and Pharisees who do it whatever gang. This is a big deal. And what happens is Yahweh sends a messenger. And I like to, as I read through that, the Yahweh and the messengers making sure make sure they follow my man. And maybe the dice falls like this, all of a sudden, dink, whoop, you see it? Wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah.
Gonna paint a picture of this whole story and what happens in there. That prayers, and it wasn't until Dad pointed that out about the prayer of the Messiah also. Not just his son. It's gonna happen. Now, I'm gonna go off. I kind of go off on a testimony, a personal one. Here I was in the middle of the Mediterranean. On a gorgeous, gargantuan boat, 450 yards long, I think. I go outside to go pray, go spend some time with who's funding all this. Get away from the noise, I'm on the deck. And I go to the front, and it was really neat because it was really windy. And I went to the very front of the deck, and there was no wind at all. And I could hear a cricket. I'm like, cricket? I'm like, really? And I'm like, all right. And anyways, as I get down on my knees, there's nobody there. I'm on the 19th floor of this huge boat. Yeah, 19 floors. And I sit there, and without thought, without thinking, I can't take any credit for how wonderful this turned out. There was something inside my heart, a dream, a hope that I had that is not coming to fruition. You know, I've been single for 8 years. That's not my desire. So that's just my little thing. But I would like for you guys, all of you have something like I do. Something you've been waiting for, waiting on, and it hasn't come into fruition yet. And in my case, I'm sitting there, and without thinking, I'm on my knees, because I'm going to be talking to him. I can't hear him unless I'm on my knees. That's me personally. And without thinking, I kind of vented. It's okay to respectfully say, I don't know what the heck's going on here. But what, you know what I said? Why do I even have this desire? Now going into it, my life would be a lot easier if I didn't have a desire that wasn't being fulfilled. Just get rid of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Except when I said, why do I even have this desire, lashing out respectfully, it was communicated just like that. Because it's my desire. And it was like Zechariah in the temple. I got goosebumps. It was communicated. How does he speak to us? All of us know how he speaks to us. It wasn't audible. I knew exactly what it meant. And I went, well, that makes sense. Because this isn't something I necessarily want. And I'm sick and tired of getting my hopes up. I'm tired of being, why am I desiring a ship that's never coming in? And maybe it is coming in, but I don't want this. I'd rather give up. All of us have something in our life like that. And it wasn't until then that I went, well, then this isn't even my desire. What am I stressed out about? Not my problem. Wrong apartment.
That's good.
That's my roommate's problem. Good. I set it aside and got back up. And instead of being lonely and disappointed, I went, I'm so glad I lashed out. And respectfully, it wasn't lashed out. It was his dream. It's his desire. All of you have something inside you that's this high. So high. Unobtainable. You're sick and tired of having your hopes. You're tired of making yourself vulnerable. You're tired because you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I look like a fool. What is this? And what I want to propose is just a thought on Abraham and Zechariah. There's, on one hand, Zechariah completely forgot about having kids. They're way past the age. Was he righteous? Mm-hmm. Did he have communion and fellowship with Yahweh? Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that feeling never went away. That he would possibly be haunted. Why don't I have kids? Why am I thinking about kids? If you're 90 years old, you would, or whatever age, I think the same thing about Abraham. I bet you they are being haunted the way I was. And, it, and when I say haunted, that was just my perspective of my roommate's dreams. I might not want to give up on his dream, but he wasn't going to give up on his dreams. And I have a feeling that even when Abraham, in the chapter before we read, I think it was 17 or 15, when Yahweh was talking about all he had, and Abraham lashes out, what's the point? If Abraham didn't have a dream inside about an heir, then he would have said, yeah, who cares? Can't take it with me, I'll be like Pharaoh, right? Mm-hmm. No, but there was a dream. And I think that maybe Yahweh was inside them, and here's this urge that can't be satisfied. And for all of us to go back and say, are you feeling vulnerable about something? It doesn't go away. Now sometimes it's your own dreams. It's your own thing. And you go back and, okay, why did I get to this? I like to call them thought trails. Why am I even thinking about a kid again? And here's Abraham going, well, Eliezer just brought his sons by, paraded them all in front of me. And then I looked at his kids and I wonder if that, that's why I'm thinking about kids, right? We all of us have that. I call them thought trails. Mm-hmm. But if it popped up out of nowhere again when I was meditating or in peaceful, I gotta go, I think that's your dream. So separate yourself. Separate yourself to say, if this is your dream, who am I to squelch your dream? Have you ever had somebody squelch your dream?
Yep.
You had plans, big ideas. And you might not have been asking for counsel. You tell somebody, and they go, that's stupid. You're like, oh, man. You're like, I wasn't asking for counsel. I'm a babbling brook, so I do it all the time. Dead Sea probably don't do that as much. But you're offended, right? I wonder how many times we do that to Yahweh in his dreams. Go back. I'm looking at, if you have a dream that doesn't go away, that hasn't come into fruition, you have the making something really possibly good, because so did Abraham. Kidding me? So did Zechariah, John the Baptist, and here they are. I'm going to go perfect, 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 perfect. Yahweh's dream. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. So with whatever you have, I don't know what's going on either one of your lives. So once one guy's been coming to me for counsel, I told him what I thought I should do, and then then he did just the opposite. My counsel and what he did is not important. But I saw him do just the opposite, and then he came back and complained to me. I was insulted. I go, you don't have to do what I say, but don't go, look what I did, and it didn't work out. You're complaining to me because you can't afford speeding tickets. I told you to first stop speeding and pay this first one. You didn't pay the ticket, and you sped again, and they're going to complain to me. No, don't do that. But that's where I was. But anyways, Yahweh got to help me with this guy. The next day, I set up a recorded thing on Facebook, which is great because you can just minute recording. I don't want to type in, I want tone. Because you can read somebody's message and not be in the right tone. If you're angry, you read it. But I said, look, and this was all of us. I said, my advice isn't what's important. You know what you're supposed to do if you're a believer. All of us know what we're supposed to be doing. Your job is to go to believers, and Yahweh and Christ will confirm what they've already told you. And I said, don't do what I did. I'd go get advice. It didn't work out. I said, it's your fault. You know, no, it's my fault. And so I did. But anyways, with these dreams, it's up to you and all of us to go back, get on your knees and say, tell me about it. Is this your dream? And he might say, no, it's not. Get rid of it. Really? That's like taking out the trash. You mean I can throw this garbage away? Good. But if it's not, go back and say, really? This is your dream. Good. Well, I'm no longer going to start pouting about this. I'm no longer going to feel sorry for myself. This is your dream. You can have anything you want. How can I help you get your dream? Because there are some dreams that I do want. There are some things on the short one I want. And if I can help him get his dreams, which I thought was mine, I was always confused. I think of a pregnant woman with a baby craving something. They might say, it might be the baby needs it. You need dirt, not you. Anyways, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let me get there.
Page 202.
Thank you. It's not 2 verse 3, it's 2:13. For it is Yahweh who energizes within you both the desiring and the energizing in behalf of His good pleasures. I'm here to tell you guys, and remind myself, is all of us are impregnated with His dreams and His desires. If we feed our old man, if we feed the lust of the flesh, if we feed doubt by listening to TV or whatever, we fill all of our day with unbelief and other things, then His dreams, they just stay very small embryo and can't even hear anything. But if you're feeding the new man, then His dreams get bigger and bigger and bigger. He's got you impregnated, all of us, with embryos of His dreams. And we go back and we watch the Passion of the Christ, and we see what He asked His Son to do for us. Am I going to give up on His dream? Are you going to give up on His dream and go back and go, okay, we do those things? And it could be. It could be in your own life that with these dreams or these other things that you're this close to having a face-to-face with Yahweh, Him speaking in the third person.
Whew. Yeah.
I don't think Abraham after that moment would have ever regretted that dream ever again. In fact, he probably would have told it for generations and generations and generations not to give up on Yahweh. So I'll go ahead and I'll give a closing word of prayer on the prophecy for the group. Thank you, Father. We thank you that you resist the haughty, you resist the proud. That if we are humble, you'll speak to us, and that we know that if we're asking you to speak to us and we want to open your book, we're probably wasting both of our time. We thank you that you speak to us through your word first, and then through the Spirit second. I thank you that we might not have the answers all the time for this world, but we do know who does know the answers to all these things. And just as Daniel did not go into the lion's den alone, and neither did Joseph go before Pharaoh alone, he didn't have the answers, but he knew who did. I thank you that you speak to us, and we thank you for these words through Christ Jesus. Do not be fearful, not about the future, for I am the future. And I plan things like weddings in your life, banquets. In your future, when I go into your future, I plan it like a wedding. I can see a huge banquet. There's centerpieces. There's placemats. There's napkins. There's tablecloths. There's music. There's tables coming, but there's people coming to wait. And this is what I am preparing each day for you. So don't stress and don't worry about those things, but live in the moment. You do your job, I'll do my job. My job is the future. Your job is the right now. And as you do so, I will set you at banquets that melt your heart and will make you cry tears of joy. But I will exalt you up when you give these tears of joy so that everybody can see what I do to the humble. Amen.
Hallelujah.